Please join me in prayer. Lord God, as we come now to your word to us in scripture, we give you thanks. We thank you that you are a God who speaks to us and continues to speak through your word to us in scripture. And we pray this morning that as we read your word and as I reflect on it, that you would speak to us, that you would give us a word of comfort, a word of direction, a word of guidance. Bless us, Lord God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, and help us to truly hear and to receive your word this morning. All this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 25th chapter. Listen now for God's holy word. The prophet says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-matured wines strained clear. And God will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of God's people God will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God, for whom we have waited, so that God might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in God's salvation.'" People of God, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. In July of 1831, Reverend Dr. Archibald Alexander, the first president of Princeton Theological Seminary, came to the Blauenberg Reformed Church, and he delivered a sermon in that newly built and dedicated sanctuary. In his sermon, Dr. Alexander reflected on why we desire to come and to enter God's houses of worship, why it is so blessed for us to enter there into God's presence. Within his sermon, Dr. Alexander explained that the ancient people of God, those who lived in biblical times, that they came to worship and they saw and they experienced so many special objects and ceremonies. But one of those items, which would have piqued their interest and their wonder, were 12 loaves of bread called the bread of the presence. First in the tabernacle as the people wandered through the wilderness, and then in the temple once it was built in Jerusalem. In these places where God's people would gather to worship and to pray, there in those holy places there was a special table built upon which the priests of the temple and the tabernacle would keep these 12 special loaves of bread. According to Dr. Alexander, these loaves were an expressive emblem of God's faithful provision of spiritual nourishment. They were there to remind us, God's people, that it is in God's presence, it is from God's hands, it is from the storerooms of God's bountiful grace that we can find the spiritual bread, the spiritual nourishment for our famished and depleted souls. These loaves of bread set out there in the temple, they spoke to our need for nourishment. This week, as I was thinking about nourishment and that theme, I reflected on some times in my own life when I have needed nourishment for my body. And I thought about a mission trip that I took to Mexico when I was in high school. I went on this trip with my church's youth group, and we went down to work with a small Protestant congregation there in Mexico. This small church was a little grassroots community of faith, a community of people who loved and cared for one another, and who loved to gather together for worship. And they worshiped in what was essentially a thatched roof tent, a long, narrow space with a small cinder block structure in the back where there were bathrooms and a small kitchen. We were there, our youth group was there, to help build them a more sophisticated sanctuary. Each day we worked out in the blazing hot sun. And as I thought about it, there were three kinds of work that I remember doing. All of it was exhausting to the body. The first thing I remember doing was helping to dig a trench that would be used for a foundation wall. We used shovels and long crowbars and pickaxes to chisel away at the dry and hard-packed ground and to try to pry free these large rocks that were buried deep in the soil. There was also the work of moving cinder blocks. This work was mindless, but it was exhausting. It was the repetitive action of bending over, picking up as many blocks as you could carry, and then waddling through the very hot air to where the builders and the foremen were using those bricks with mortar to create walls and stairways for their church. Finally, there was the work of mixing concrete by hand with shovels. Have any of you mixed concrete with a shovel? Some of you? Well, here in the United States, if you mix concrete, when I've seen it done here in the United States, people usually mix it in like a wheelbarrow, right? And what that does is that it elevates the concrete to a certain extent. But there in Mexico, the concrete was mixed just flat on the ground and in much larger proportions. The shovels that my Mexican brothers and sisters had were short shovels. And so for me, the work of mixing concrete meant that I was doubled over, bent as low as I could to mix that sand and those stones and that concrete and that water together as we mixed it for those using it to build. My youth group friends and I, we were young. We were 16, 17, 18 years old, and we really wanted to impress our newly made Mexican friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so each day while we worked, we pushed ourselves, we pushed our bodies, we pushed our muscles to their limits. Each day we worked in that blazing hot sun, pushing ourselves and carrying and shoveling and mixing until our muscles were completely exhausted. At the end of each shift of work, our bodies and our muscles, they were deeply in need of nourishment. It wasn't that we were injured. It wasn't that we had broken anything. It was just that our bodies were exhausted and our muscles were depleted of their strength and their energy. At the end of each work session, we needed nourishment. Thankfully, each day as we worked, some of the women of that church community were there nearby in the space that was their congregation's place of worship. They were in that thatched roof sanctuary, their house of God. They were there in that small cinder block church kitchen, cooking and preparing meals. And it was there in their sanctuary that they put out tables and chairs and served us the meals that nourished our exhausted bodies. I remember one meal in particular. Most of the meals that those women made for us were designed to suit our American taste. But one day, I think the last day, they made for us traditional Mexican tacos with shredded meat, warmed tortillas, and fresh and juicy salsa. Never before have I needed so badly or so perfectly received nourishment for my weary body. The fats and juices of that meal filled my body. The energy from that rich food, I could feel it running to every extremity of my body, replenishing that lost energy, bringing life back to the wearied muscles, making them ready for another round of mixing that terrible concrete. With that food, I was rejuvenated. It is this kind of nourishing fatty meal that Isaiah predicted that God would prepare and provide for God's wearied people. In Isaiah chapter 25, we hear the prophet's glorious prediction that the weary, scattered, and exhausted people of God, all of God's people, would be gathered together on God's holy mountain, and there God will prepare and provide a feast of fatty foods. In our modern English translations, the text just says rich foods, that God will prepare a meal of rich foods. But I like the old King James Version. It's the version that Archibald Alexander would have used as he prepared his sermon back in 1831. It says that God will provide a meal of rich, fatty foods filled with marrow. Of course, even in Isaiah's telling, that feast of fatty foods filled with marrow, it represented something symbolic. It was representing the spiritual nourishment that God would provide for God's people. People of God, our spirits, our souls, they are exhausted and depleted within us. We are those who are in need of spiritual nourishment and spiritual rejuvenation. We are those who need a feast of fatty foods for our tired and our worn out souls. And the good news is that God invites us to come and to partake of the meal that God has prepared. The good news is that the gospel message declares to us that in Jesus Christ, God has provided that rich and nourishing meal that we need for our exhausted souls. The gospel message tells us that the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God confirms in us, that Jesus is the bread of heaven, come down for our nourishment. He is the bread of heaven which sates our spiritual hunger. The good news is that the gospel message promises to us that God's table is so wide, so long, so vast, that each and every one of us who seeks their nourishment for our wearied souls will find a meal of fatty foods full of marrow to revive our wearied and exhausted souls. Like a teenager whose arms and hands are so weak and wearied from work that he can barely lift a fork to his lips, we are invited to come to God's table as we are, weak and in need, wearied and exhausted, worn out and empty, and we are invited to lift the plate and the cup of spiritual nourishment which God has been happy to provide. During this pandemic, during this shutdown, this time of social isolation, our souls have been depleted. Our souls, through the daily news, the daily sorrows, the daily frustrations, the daily limitations, the daily challenges, the daily complications, the daily disappointments, this ongoing experience for our souls is not unlike the exhausting work of building a church in the blazing hot sun. People of God, this pandemic has been difficult, and for many, it has depleted our souls. Dr. Alexander, in his sermon, reassures us that God knows. God knows that we are weary, and God is here to offer us nourishment. Here in worship, here through our prayers, here through God's word to us in Scripture, here through our fellowship with one another, here through the divine love that God has put in our hearts through God's Son crucified and raised to new life, here through God's Holy Spirit present in each and every one of our hearts, here in the love that we share with one another, here in God's presence, present with us to provide us with nourishment for our wearied souls. In his sermon, Dr. Alexander reflected on how each week, the bread of the presence, those 12 loaves that were placed in the temple, he reflected on how that bread of the presence would be eaten, and then it would be replaced. Each week, the priests working there in the temple would eat that bread and replace it with new loaves baked fresh. The eating of these loaves and the weekly renewing of this bread, it has rich meaning for us. By eating that special bread in that special place, the priests were dining with God, sharing God's food, showing how deeply God desires to have fellowship and communion with us. The weekly renewing of that bread also represented how God's nourishment is always available. God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, there was always bread in God's house. There was always a meal prepared and ready. There was always, there is always, nourishment provided for our souls. People of God, the feast is prepared. The meal of rich and fatty food stands ready to be eaten. The banquet is underway, so let us not neglect the invitation that has been given. Let us come into God's loving and nourishing care, and let us there find nourishment for our souls. Thanks be to God. Amen.